I got it. Kiss is the slinky handed it to me. I did not.
Okay, Mr. Detweiler.
All right, thank you, Mr. President. The proposed grading policy changes. The board has seen these several times. As you know, there's three recommendations that came to me from the grading policy committee. I reviewed them. It's been vetted by the district administration several times. Impact committee has had it presented to them a few times for their input. There have been some changes made even since the last. And if we go down, one change that we did make, you're good right there. If you look at the 87 to 89 for B+, previously, Karen, what was that listed as?
Previously, the B+ was an 88 to 89 the last time we saw it, and C+ was 78 to 79, and D+ was 68 to 69. But we made an adjustment there for a wider range for plus.
So it allows for more students to have the ability to get to that plus range.
And then that mirrors what's happening at the minus, because you can see that 80, 81, 82, there were three different grades that you could have gotten minus, but only two with a plus. So that's why we brought it to the 87.
A few questions that were asked at the last meeting. How many of the courses, the weighting of the grades, how many courses will be weighted? As I went back through today, I saw 19 courses for offerings for next year that will be weighted out of 186 offerings, or 10%. Dr. Unger pointed out that through CCP we'll have even more offerings that we don't offer on campus, but they'll be able to take off of here, that they'll have weighted grades for those as well. How many students will benefit from our schedule we have up there? Mrs. Grigsby did the honor of going back and researching what it would have looked like if we applied this during the last semester. 2-to-1 students would have benefited from this. So roughly 266 students would have benefited by having this as far as getting a higher grade. Okay, they would have gotten the pluses instead of just the B's or the A's. It would have been or the C's and D's. They would have got pluses. So they would have benefited versus those kids that were on the bubble moving down to minuses. So it's a 2-to-1 ratio there, at least in that snapshot.
And I think it's important to note, it wasn't quite 2-to-1 with the 88, and that's when we discovered that there was more opportunity to get a minus than a plus, which is why we went to the 87, 77, 67, because then it made it more of a 2-to-1 ratio. And the lower the grade, the more opportunity there is to benefit. So in the D range, it's more like a 5 or 6-to-1 ratio.
Okay, make sure I didn't miss anything. And I wanted to take a moment to thank all the staff, the principals, Mrs. Grigsby, for their work on the grading committee. This is never an easy area to modify. There's always contentious discussion that comes up, and there's a lot of hardline opinions that come out from folks. This was our effort to make things better for the majority of our kids. As I said before, there's not going to be a perfect revision to this, but we think this is better, and it's going to give them a better stepping stone into whatever they go into, whether it's college, military, what have you. We think it's going to help them. So I just wanted to briefly go back through that again. When we get to it, you can ask questions then. You can ask questions now. I'll be happy to answer anything you have.
I have a quick question. Why is there no A+?
That was a discussion in the committee as well. And we looked at a number of different grading scales. None of the colleges or universities use an A+. That played into it. Several of the high schools that we saw that did use an A+, even though like a 98 to 100 was an A+, it was still only worth 4.0. So we didn't want to give the, we felt a lot of schools were giving the false impression that that A+ was worth more, when really it was still also worth a 4.0.
And the only reason I ask is we talk about wanting the students to drive for that next grade, so there's no drive for me to get anything higher than a 93.
That's true. And really just looking at other school districts.
Okay. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions about that?
How many students did it better? Talk to me about that number.
For the last grading period that we evaluated, it was 2-1. It benefited. And Karen, you just want to talk to how you did that.
What was
that?
Well, I did not bring the actual number. I mean, you're talking about looking at thousands of grades, not students, but thousands of grades, because within any 9 weeks, every student is issued 7 to 8 grades. So when you have 350, 400 students times 7 to 8 grades, it was looked at in that way, each grade, and then the comparison was done between the first comparison that was done was when the pluses were only 88s and 89s, 78s and 79s, and there wasn't it was still tipped more towards the plus than the minus, but that's when we discovered why wasn't this happening more often was when because there was more opportunity to get a minus than a plus. In that B, C, D range. So that's when I went to Mr. Detweiler. We talked about it. We looked at a couple other school districts and saw that there were several school districts that had the 87, the 77, the 67, and that flush ring. So we talked about it with administration and decided to expand that range some. And then just sheerly comparing the numbers of pluses to the numbers of minuses, that was 2-1. And that didn't include anything that was just a straight B, or a straight C, or a straight D.
I'm just struggling with, is that enough benefit for the kids? Is that really helping? What? I just can't understand the numbers that go into it. It's 266 kids. That's you know, what percentage is that of our? All the kids that it could help. I don't know. That is it over 50% that?
At that snapshot, that's 2-1.
And that's. I mean, I just.
Yeah.
I still don't wrap my mind around that.
The other thing, though, when we talk to other school districts who are using it, mm-hmm. is that really numbers-wise, you don't see as big of a benefit until they start working towards the next higher grade. So even a student who maybe is getting a 78 and then works towards that 80, you see a benefit there. So at each level, that's where they're seeing even a bigger benefit is kids pushing themselves up a level.
And didn't you see the lower end, it impacted even more?
Yes.
Or ones for D's, it was more like a 5-1 ratio they were benefiting. So.
You know, I don't have kids at that age, but they have some computer system where they're tracking where the grades at throughout the semester.
Yeah.
And then have something to strive for.
Yeah, all the students actually have access to progress books, so they can always look at their grades at any point.
And obviously your committee had some teachers on it, but the other teachers had much input, much thoughts, or they supported this.
The other teachers throughout the district, I can let Kim talk to it. Every person on the committee went back to their representative groups and gave their input.
And after every meeting, it was sent out to all the certificated staff, things that had been discussed, and who they were to direct their feedback to, so it all came through. So there was representation kindergarten through 12th grade.
And on the whole, it was positive.
There were multiple opinions shared and voiced, and consensus vote on where there were. We had students involved in the committee as well, as well as parents.
It'll be critical that progress book is updated timely, right? It'll be critical that every teacher does that. Because if you have a student, that could happen the other way, right? I mean, I just see that they don't know exactly where they are, and if there's a couple of grades that aren't in there, that could make it, you know.
True.
But you know what? That can be the same with any kind of grade.
It is,
yeah.
But I think this would, if you say the students are driving to the next level of grade, then it's going to be essential that the teachers do the same, because they won't have a mark. That's my only point.
Next item, and again, these are just the discussion items at this point. The organizational chart, and please, 16. Currently, our organizational structure looks like this. I took out all the colors because it was getting a little too bright for me. I wanted to show the areas of this recommendation that would change. Technology director position would go away. Maintenance supervisor, that's currently Mr. Kimbler, he is retiring. And the transition work coordinator position is going to go away as Mr. Pratt is also retiring. If we flip to the 17th, what I am proposing is that we go to a director of operations position. And we have a maintenance coordinator that's in line with the transportation and cafeteria coordinators. Okay. What this does for us is there is a savings to the district by going this route. This is not the first time Madison Plains has had this structure. Actually, Mr. Hall was here. He was in a similar role over those departments before he was superintendent. These changes, what I'm after is coordinating the efforts of all the support departments under one person. We've had four chiefs that have done a great job, but I want one person to coordinate all the departmental efforts. We've seen a lot of efficiencies over the last year trying to get us to work more hand in hand, not independently, and I think this would go a long way towards meeting that goal. I'm not going to open it, but Mr. Kimbler provided a letter as well supporting that change. In his past 41 years with us, he's seen that as the best time at Madison Plains in regards to how we operated. He endorsed this setup, saying he agrees it will bring those departments together instead of working independently, as well as thanking the district for having him here for 41 years, which it really goes the other way. But Larry wanted to be here, but he couldn't be. But I do want to make sure that you guys know for our last day luncheon that we have with the staff, we'll be recognizing Larry and Kathy Haynes and any of the other folks that are retiring. So that's you'll get a reminder to come to that. That is the proposed changes to the organizational chart. It'll be presented to you here in a little bit. I can address any questions that you might have now.
Who has Will Pratt's responsibility in this new one?
Under the new one, what we're doing is we've reduced some of the classroom duties of one of the intervention specialists at the high school to where now she is pure intervention specialist, and they'll be splitting that amongst two intervention specialists.
Okay.
Which most districts in our area, that's how they do it anyhow. We're fortunate that we believe, Dr. Hunter and I, that we can utilize those people by having the same workload as far as number of kids, but yet now she's not teaching a class, they'll be able to take on this responsibility.
Okay.
We're not giving them the same work plus this. We're reducing their kids because there's another body in the mix, because they were teaching class and now they're not. They're an intervention only. So that allows us to put this work with them.
Okay.
Tim, something I asked you for, just so you can publicly explain it, is with the technology coordinator being gone, the role of technology being taken care of through the technology technician and whatever the director of operations involvement would be with that. Any concern as far as not having a technology coordinator?
The only concern I have is whoever fills that role has got to have both those specialties. If we can't find that person, then we can't go to that setup, what it comes down to. Like I said, a lot of districts have a setup where they have a business manager or a director of operations, whatever you want to call it, and they're also in charge of transportation, or they're in charge of the cafeteria, or they're in charge of the maintenance department. The one that comes to mind for me is Urbana. I was at a seminar not long ago with their business manager, and that's what he was. He was also their transportation director, but he was over all the other departments as well. So you have to have multiple skill sets if you're going to have that person, as a director of operation. Larger districts, of Dublin, for example, that's what they do. They're just over those departments, and they have the department heads that work underneath them. We don't have that luxury. So, again, that's why we're doubling up on whoever takes that role. PI planning, I think, is what we're up to. Just want to update the board that this is the time of the year we start evaluating the PI plan. You remember we have a five-year plan that's out there. We're reevaluating it, the administration. at the next impact meeting, we'll be laying that out in front of them, which we've always done, to discuss some of the major items that we're looking at. Library renovations. Our library is in drastic need of furniture and just revitalizing them. Chromebooks. We've been doing a lot of technology research here lately and debate on what we need, what we want to get, and what we have to have. So you'll hear about that coming your way. We're looking at our vehicles. We've got a lot of older service vehicles that we'd have to look at and see if we need to get a new truck or what we need based on the services that we're contracting out and the services that we're going to do in-house. So those are the kind of things that in the PI planning world that we are looking at right now. And again, just giving you a heads up, that'll be coming your way eventually. Next up is Mastery Connect, and we will tag team a little bit on this. I'll ask a few questions of our principal in K-6 and Mrs. Grigsby. Mastery Connect, our district doesn't have an in-house assessment software system, one in which our teachers can set up assessments of the kids in real time and get data back almost immediately. This has been a long process. This was an assignment given to our curriculum director early in the year. One of your goals is to find us a software system that fits all of our needs. So first thing we had to do was sit down as a team of administrators and teachers and figure out what are our needs, what do we want as far as assessing our students. Once that was done, then Karen went out and she found several options, to the point we had to say stop finding options. And we whittled it down to two. At the end of the day, Mastery Connect came out on top for a lot of different reasons. It's a very powerful program, and Karen, if you and Kim would talk to the first pilots we did down here in the third grade, I think that might be beneficial to the board.
So what we did to kind of pilot this is, as I'm sure you're aware, there's the third grade reading guarantee, that there are certain benchmarks that third grade students have to hit by state law, and we had already done the fall assessment. So we knew which students that we needed to target, but what we needed to find was a better way for our teachers to react to that data quickly. So we put together an assessment and administered it to all of our third graders, and within a day we were able to tell the teachers, here's areas they're strong and here's areas they're weak, so that they were able to immediately adjust their instruction to prepare for our upcoming state assessments to meet that piece. We decided to pilot in third grade for that piece. We also did it in sixth grade, seventh grade, and eighth grade. We used it for sixth grade for seventh grade math placement assessments, which is something we'd always done paper and pencil up to this point, and then get a group of teachers together to score them all. We're now, the majority of the scoring is all done electronically and almost immediately. Anything multiple choice is done immediately, even if it's a multi-answer. So as we did that with third grade, especially looking at that, the hardest part for the kids to utilize the system was just logging into the computers, which is something they do with technology all the time. And when I say that being the hardest part, that's not something difficult for them. They've been doing it since kindergarten. Once they got into the system, there was no problems with any part of that at all. So it's very smooth, and even all the kids said, well, that was really easy to use and maneuver on that platform. And the reason we chose to go that route is all of the state testing has gone electronic, and so we need to expose our kids more to those electronic platforms so that when they go to take the state test, it's not, what does this test look like, and I'm nervous about it. It's, oh, we've already been exposed to things like this. It's nothing new for us. Christina helped with the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade for the placement on the math side.
I mean, I think it's easy to use for the students, but for the teachers as well. ODE had an instructional improvement system that was a few years ago that was very cumbersome. You could not really teach yourself. It was a lot. And this, I think, I know some teachers have just played around with it. They've been able to create assessments, and it's much, much more user-friendly and gives us the data that we need.
And we're going to be able to have them program it to be color-coded just like all of our TBTs, all the work our teachers are doing in our teacher-based teams. So this will help in that process, that they'll get data back much more quickly and already in the user format that we've been using, that they've been doing by hand.
It does also encompass grades all the way down to kindergarten. So what we're looking at is kindergarten through 12th grade. solution to a lot of what we need, and we'll track data from kindergarten to 12th grade. And it interacts with progress book as well.
I look at this as one of the last pieces of our improvement plan. Getting a program that lets the teachers know in real time what standards the students have mastered, I think, is going to be a coup for us. Now, the big question, how much is this thing? It's about $15,000 a year. So we've had a lot of conversations about costs and our deficit coming our way. These are the hard decisions that we have to make. Now, I'm going to do my best working with Todd for budgeting and going into next year to offset this cost somehow, which is going to mean reductions in other areas. But I think this program is going to be worth it. This is just an update for you guys. Once we set the budget for next year, that's when you're approving us to buy this. It's not tonight. That's why you don't see that. The purchase services budget that you see as part of the overall budget, when you approve that, you'll be approving this if I go ahead and give the green light on it. But your question should be, did you offset that cost 100%? If not, you need to cut your budget with that amount if that's what you want to do. Okay. So just that heads up. I wanted to bring your attention that Karen and I and Kim attended the Bluffton Teacher Job Fair. I'd never been to Bluffton University, but there were, I believe, 9 different universities represented there, all on the same size as Bluffton. There's Defiance and Findlay and ONU. We stood there for about 3 minutes and we thought, nobody's going to come up to us and sign up with us. And then they just started coming. And after we started talking about it, it was interesting that a lot of the people we spoke to were from areas, small areas that went to us, mid-sized college that wanted to go back to a small high school or whatever level they're teaching. And so they sought us out. We had 8 sign up. We interviewed 7 people that day. And at the end of the day, I know I felt this way, and I think they did as well. It was one of the most important things we've done in a long time. We actually went to candidates as they're graduating before they're gobbled up by other schools. We got to the front of the line. In fact, Washington Courthouse was there, and they said, what are you guys doing here? Nobody else knew about this place. We said, well, we do now, so get out of the way. And actually, we've got one lined up for an interview next Monday. I think she'll be great if she passes through our hiring process. And then a couple other that are in the back pocket if we have openings. So a very good day up there. I just want to give you that heads up. The student parent handbook. There's a lot of changes. I'm not going to walk through the whole handbook with you. We've got changes that are revisions that are broken out later on. We can go through those individually as we get to them. There's a lot of cleanup within the handbook, and if you've seen anything that you'd like to ask me about, suggest that we make changes, I'm all ears.
Change in the school day, when the school day starts, what's the logic behind it?
Well, what's funny about that is the logic is that was our school time this year. And so that, as we went back through, we saw a few things. I guess Ken Morlock is still a board member, so Mark, you're going to have to move back over there according to the handbook. But it was a miss. The school day was listed as 7:50 to 3:10. It was 7:40 to 2:50, so that's a correction. The student fees, that's also a correction. We had 55 at 70, so it's not an increase. It's what we had this year. It was approved last year. It was a miss, so it's cleaned up now. The good news is, as we go through these things now, it's not going to be a major hurdle when we bring revisions back to the board. It's going to be quite normal that we see, oh, okay, we got to make a revision. We'll have it in the front, listed as revisions when it was revised by the board, so people know, and they can quickly go back to the board agenda to see that you voted on it.
With those consumable fees, I know we discussed previously that those can be waived if you're on free or reduced price lunch. Are those in there?
The waiver language?
Yeah, where's that?
It's not in there. It's something that we can consider. Your board policy speaks to it, what their rights are to have those fees waived. We don't have it in here now. We can certainly add that if the board would like to see that in there.
It is on the application. When a parent applies, they actually have to sign off. Even if they could receive free and reduced lunch, they still have to apply or say that I want this to be considered to waive my school fees. So it's not automatically have to actually say, I want both. So I don't know if it needs to be there, but it is on that application that they fill out.
If the board would like to see the information included, we can certainly put, you know, what I suggest we do is that something along the lines of for waiver of fees, see board policy JN, for example. So we don't, this doesn't keep growing. At least they have the reference where they can go look it up. I don't have a problem with adding that if the board would like to see that.
Doesn't matter to me, that's fine with me.
The mission statement that's on here, do we have to update that based upon what we just?
After you approve.
That was my first question. Perfect.
I thought I'd be presumptuous if I.
We'd say, wait a minute, time out.
Right.
Okay.
Any other questions on the handbook? Again, you'll see, probably the next three meetings, you'll see changes as they occur as we move along. All right. That concludes my yakking, so now we can move on to action items.
Thank you very much. That takes us to item J, new business.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approved the first reading of the following board policies. As listed below, AFC-1, GCN-1, and IKF is in Frank.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
These were very minor changes that from OD or from OSBA, nothing structural.
Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
I just got a question on graduation. This is first reading, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent board for the first reading of the board policy CCA organizational chart as presented.
I'll second that. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dotz?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
No.
Mr. Butts?
No.
Motion carries 3-2.
Mr. President, I make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent of the board for a leave of absence without pay for Kelly Neal. No, excuse me. Did I miss one? Oh, I missed the senior C.
That's important.
How did I forget that one? Right?
I want to keep them here.
Right. I'll try that one, Mr. President. I'd like to make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following seniors who are scheduled to participate in commencement exercises on May 20th, 2016, as listed below.
Second.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dotz?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the leave of absence without pay for Kelly Neal beginning April 28, 2016 through May 19, 2016.
I'll second.
Discussion?
What's the
Kelly is it maternity leave?
She was new to our district this year.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dotz?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Right. Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following certified contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract beginning with the 2016-2017 school year. As listed below, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year.
I'll second that. Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes, sorry.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Before the next motion is made, may I say a couple things?
Uh-huh.
We're up to J6. Continuing contract. We have not awarded continuing contract in many, many years. Mr. Hall just simply didn't believe in it. I believe in it when we have those special educators that come along that are fully committed to Madison Plains, and they express that by being involved, by expressing their opinions, which I think the two candidates tonight fit that bill. Why would we give a continuing contract? I had this debate with my predecessor many times, and to me, you're trying to recognize those people that epitomize what you want as a staff member, as an educator, people that make a difference, that we feel we couldn't do without. When I talk to the principals of these folks, they said they're indispensable. We've got to have them. We don't want them to go anywhere. In our strategic planning process, we came up with our values at Madison Plains. I'm just going to read those real quick. Quality, innovative student-centered education, passionate, hardworking, dedicated staff, organized, well-managed, and fiscally responsible, integrity, transparency, approachable, and collaborative. I believe that these two candidates tonight exceed our values. So if you recall, we were told to apply when we hire people those values. I think we need to do that tonight with these two folks. So before you vote, I want to say I'm very proud to recommend Scott and Jenny for these continuing contracts. So with that, I'll turn it back to you guys.
Thank you. What is the practical effect of the continuing contract?
Basically, it takes them out of the pool as far as the rating system. If you're in a RIF, if you're in a RIF situation. Right now, our RIF situation is we look at, and I'll look at Stormy because he's part of that too. In a RIF situation, you look at accomplishes up here, then skilled and developing are another group, and then ineffectives at the bottom, and you start with your RIFing along that process. And if all things are equal as far as ratings go, then you start your RIFing. Folks on the continuing contract are kind of set aside from that. So that's truly one of their only protections at this point. Okay? That's the only benefit they get from it, other than they're recognized as one of our outstanding educators. Anything else, Stormy, that you think they
get? She said ditto.
Okay. Is that a permanent designation? Or?
It is. Yes.
It is. I appreciate recognizing good teachers. I just want to make sure I know what to do.
It also, to be fair, they're still evaluated, okay? And they're still subject to, you know, if everybody else, if they're not doing their job, they can come back into the mix. But you're not protected forever. It's just a matter of that RIF protection is truly what you're after. I don't think we'll be in that situation in regards to the evaluation process with these two.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board awards Scott Spolder a certified continuing contract to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract beginning with the 2016-2017 school year. Mr. Spolder has met the requirements set forth in the adopted negotiated agreement and board policy.
I'll second.
Oh, Kelly, that's fine. Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you, Mr. Spolder.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board of Ward Jenny Levington, a certified continuing contract to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract beginning with the 2016-2017 school year. Mrs. Weddington has met the requirements set forth in the adopted negotiated agreement and board policy.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you, Ms. Weddington.
Yes, thank you.
Before we move on, I'd be remiss if I didn't let the principals, if you wanted to say anything. I'm sorry I cut you off there, but if I covered everything, that's fine. But Matt, if you'd like to say anything.
I can just look at you.
I think both these individuals kind of speaks for themselves. The whole night, you see Mr. Spoller out there doing stats and so on, working with the kids individually, helping them after school, working with plays and after hours. It just goes on and on and on. Does a wonderful job as a teacher. Jenny's just, she's the same way. She's working with kids all the time. She's a track coach for us now. She works with kids after school to help them before school. She's moved out of the intervention specialist role, but she's still helping some of those kids that she's worked with before during her prep time, during her lunch time, and always working with all kids. They're both very kid-centered and contribute a lot to the success of our students.
Thank you, ma'am. Dean, if we could afterwards, can we get a picture?
We can.
Okay. Thank you. So make sure.
Sorry. No, that's fine. Thank you.
President, I'd like to make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following extended day contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2016-2017 school year. As listed below, Lynn Robbins, 20 days, Beth Jones, 10 days, and Diane Halloran, 10 days.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
This is not a change.
Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following classified contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract beginning with the 2016-2017 school year, as listed below.
Second.
Any discussion?
That continuing is from the Higher Advice Code. It basically says after your first and your second, you go to continuing. Does that make sense? We don't have an option of not giving them a continuing. It's unlike the teachers. I know the language is the same, but it's totally different.
Was there, the Nikki Rice, she on the staffing needs is one that's not, or an opening? Is that the same person?
Potentially, yeah. We're locking her in the classified world. She was moved from the high school down to intermediate in the ED room. She's actually getting her teaching license, and she would like to teach, but we'll see if she gets through the interview process.
Any further discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award a continuing classified contract to Jeff Tackett as mechanic step 3 to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract beginning with the 2016-2017 school year.
Any discussion?
Again, Jeff fulfilled all the requirements for moving up to mechanic. If you recall, he needed to get a CDL driver's license. He did get that. He has been subbing for us, so doing a great job.
Awesome. Call roll, please.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award a continuing contract to Cody Campbell, paid in accordance with the hourly exempt employee's wage schedule as approved by the Board of Education, beginning with the 2016-2017 school year.
Second.
Any discussion?
Again, same situation with the language continuing under exempt employees.
Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes. I'm sorry.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept with regret the following resignations. Larry Kimbler, years of service 41, which I just think is incredible. Kathy Haynes, 30 years. Sherry Shook, 7 years. Julie Wright, 2 years. And Kevin White, 1 year.
I'll second that. Any discussion?
Yeah. Again, we've talked about Larry. I hope the board can make it to that the last day luncheon with the staff, because we recognize Larry and Kathy there, as well as Sherry. Kathy's done a great job for us as well, kind of working in the background with kids, but she's been right there all along. Julie Reif is getting married and moving away, and Kevin White is looking for other opportunities.
Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board create a full-time teaching substitute position. This position will be worked on a one-year contract up to 184 days annually. It will be paid in accordance with the certified salary schedule, step zero, and employee's level of degree. This position will not consist of a step increase or benefits, nor is it part of the bargaining unit.
I'll second that. Any discussion?
And again, this is a year-to-year contract. It doesn't lock us in for multi-years with any one person. We have a need to lock in teachers as full-time subs. We're in desperate need right now of teachers for substitutes for our teachers. So this is, I think, the right move for us.
What is the cost difference between just having regular subs come in and having this position to the district?
Regular sub is about $19,000 a year. Our base salary for the BA zero is Right. Depends on who you are. BA zero is 30-some thousand. If it's MA zero, you're 37,000. So there is a cost differential for locking in that person.
So I just feel we got a lot of tough decisions we got to make. This might not be where we.
Any other discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
No.
Mr. Hunter?
No.
Mr. Mason?
No.
Motion does not carry by a margin of 2-3.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the first reading of the Director of Operations job description as presented.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
No.
Mr. Butts?
No.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-2.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept the resignation of Stormy Hiram as a 7th grade math B advisor effective April 8th. Yeah. Does that skip one? It's because I'm reading them all.
No, I think she did 15 before did 14.
Oh.
No.
No, I did.
15 is a job description of the previous position.
Oh.
You did 14. You need to do 15 now.
Yeah, I need
to. Whoever.
Sure, I'll do 15. My fault.
Somebody
I make a motion, Mr. President, that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the first reading of the Director of Operations job description as presented. Oh, I said that one disapproved. That's fine. Sorry.
I'll second that. Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept the resignation of Stormy Hiram as a 7th grade math B advisor effective April 8th, 2016.
Discussion?
I just want to say, since this week, I have been math B coach for 19 years, and I've always done all the grades in the junior high. And the our new seventh grade math teacher, Haley Elkins, was actually interested in coaching with me this year. So I resigned the seventh grade position so she could coach with me. I'm still doing eighth grade.
Thank you.
Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make motion that upon recommendation, the superintendent, the board approve the addition of the following to the substitute cook list effective April 19th, 2016.
Second.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make motion upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following athletic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2015-2016 school year. Below, Don Raines, Paul Bryant, Heather Martin.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
There was some question about Mr. Bryant continuing on. Mr. Mason confirmed with us today that he's committed to finishing the season.
Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation, the superintendent of the board award the following academic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2015-2016 school year, Jeffrey Stokes and Haley Elkins.
Second.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the 2016 strategic plan of the Madison Plains Local School District as presented.
Second.
Any discussion?
I think you've seen this a few times.
Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the revision to Section 3, Academic Information, Grading Scale in the Student Parent Handbook as presented. This revision, if approved, will change current grading scale from a 10-point scale to a plus and minus system, which in turn will convert the percentage to a 4-point scale. Additionally, quality points will be earned for weighted courses with a C minus or better earned by the student. This revision will begin with the 2016-2017 school year.
I'll second that. Any discussion?
Yes, it's my understanding the weighted courses is not going to take effect till the 2019 school year.
That is correct.
No. Huh. That's your item 23.
That's the graduating class of 2019. Those students would get weighted grades next year, though.
I'm sorry?
It's class of 2019.
It's a class, so it's not this. It's going into effect for the class of 2019.
Incoming
class, so next year when they come in. It's not that it's not, yeah.
Right.
his, your assessment, though, right? This.
The one you're voting on now is the grading scale.
Okay.
The pluses and minuses.
Yep.
It's, and also the weighted courses, correct, or no? I mean, it says
if we have, if you vote yes on that, we will have the extra quality point. If you vote no on that, then we won't have the extra quality point. So we'd have to change what's in the handbook. If you see that column with the extra 1.0, that would go away. The plus and minus would stay, but the quality point would go away.
Are you telling me we are or are not voting on weighted courses?
You are tonight, just not in this action. Okay.
Okay.
This action basically says you're doing pluses and minuses, and if you have a weighted system, they'll get an extra 1 point.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
No.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Am I allowed to ask a question?
Yeah.
So it's not going to go into effect for, and then once it goes into effect 19, it's only going to be for those freshmen, right?
No, that's not this.
This is next year. Plus and minus system.
Waiting will go in.
For the class of 2019.
For everybody.
That's on down, Dave.
It's on down.
We're this is
on
just that
plus. I know which one, but I'm trying to think how this all.
You're not tied to anything else.
It's only going to be for the class of 2019 come in, this is going to affect.
That's when it will start. Not this action. Item 23 is the one that will drive that. You vote
21
no.
Is a plus or minus.
Yep.
Correct. That's the new grade.
And that's not going to affect anybody but the freshmen, right?
No, that's everybody.
Every single student.
Correct. The grading scale, if you vote yes on this action item, we'll go to a plus minus for everybody.
For grading scale to do some classes and not others.
Okay. Be everybody.
Okay, yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-1.
Which item was that we just did? Is that 20?
21.
Okay, now we're on 22.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the revision to section 3, academic information, high school end of course assessment in the student parent handbook as presented. This revision, if approved, will change the current practice of weighing exams as following. Year-long course equals 30%, semester-long course equals 20%, to the year-long courses, 10% per semester, and semester-long courses, 20%. See handbook for revision language. This revision will begin with the 2016-2017 school.
I will second that.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the revision to the Section 3 academic information, high school end of course assessment in the student parent handbook as presented. This revision, if approved, will change the current practice of not awarding quality points for weighted classes. Madison Plains will offer weighted classes grades for courses that exceed the level of rigor and content typical high school college preparatory courses. The student achievement team will review the course content and expectations of our courses, which meet the initial criteria to be weighted. Courses meeting all criteria will then be denoted as weighted in the course description handbook. Courses receiving a weighted grade will receive an additional 1 point to the quality points earned by the student in those courses. Furthermore, no additional points will be awarded for the grades of D or F in those courses. Weighting grades will begin with the students of the graduating class of 2019 and will not be retroactively applied.
Second.
Main discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
No.
Mr. Butts?
No.
Mr. Hunter?
be really much any difference here, right? Right?
This would allow.
This is where I'm confused
grade.
Because we did the whole thing with the plus or minus and the weighted grades. Now we're doing something else with weighted grades starting on 2019. I'm just confused on.
This is my problem with this is when it is implemented, Dave. I firmly believe that this should be implemented this coming school year, not for the class of 2019.
Dave, those classes, if you go yes on this, those classes that are designated as weighted grade courses will get an extra quality point because the rigor exceeds. That's what this one's got.
That's not going to go into effect until 2019, right?
That's
class of 2019.
That's correct.
Class of
2019. Class of 2019.
I'm voting no.
Mr. Mason.
Yes.
Mr. Dodds.
Yes.
Motion does not carry by a margin of 2-3.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the general revisions to the of the student parent handbook as presented.
Second.
Any discussion?
So this would be ongoing, because it's the one that was showed there. And
yep.
We'll vote on any new ones.
Right. The changes we saw tonight, we'll make those, and you'll see them come back to you again.
But you're not talking about the revisions for the first reading, right?
We'll change those and update them accordingly.
And you say the revisions the first
this
reading.
This is the most confusing agenda out of 12 years I've ever seen in my life.
There's a lot on it.
Well, but they're all going to read themselves, in my opinion. Huh. We got a first reading on there for revisions, and this one's on there. I'm confused. I'm sorry.
The three recommendations you just did, really we could have done as one recommendation to approve the revisions of the handbook. And that's what historically you have seen. But what I didn't want to have happen is throw out, you know, the baby with the bathwater. So I split it up so you could vote individually. That's why it's split up. Historically, it's all been dumped into one vote, and you would lose all the recommendations you've gotten based on one item. So
okay, and I understand what you're saying. But when we went back and looked at the first reading of the handbook, it states that in there about the grades and the requirements for graduation. So why would we have to have all this stuff at the end? I don't get it. It's still part of the first reading, right?
The only thing that you have in the handbook now, if you see it's in yellow, or see what color we've got, green or yellow, those are the proposed changes that you're seeing tonight. So I included the language in here that if you vote yes on all this, that's the way this would look. So like on page 23, the old grading scale comes out, the new one goes in, and it's in green.
I understand how that's done, Tim. What I'm getting at is on your one, I was looking at the first reading for the graduation requirements. All that's put in there for that first reading.
That's board policy.
Which item are you looking at there?
Board policy is the handbook, Mike. We make board policy, that's all.
No, they're not the same. They're two different things.
Not at all.
We don't have
to. Okay, let's just go ahead and move it.
I'm not sure which action item you were talking about.
That's all right. It's just way to
okay, any further discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Potts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
No.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-1.
Okay, that takes donations.
Mr. President, I make a motion. Upon recommendation, the superintendent, the board approve the following donations.
Is there a second?
Second. Mark,
okay, I'm sorry. Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Any other new agenda items?
We just need to show that it's on there. You just need to know when the next meeting is. Closing hours.
Yeah. So the next meeting will be held May 9th. We're going to make that adjustment. Is that right with you, Mark, then?
That
fits your calendar. Okay, so May 9th, instead of the Tuesday after, so it'll be Monday, May 9th at 7 o'clock. Anything else to be brought?
I make a motion that the board adjourn at 9:18 p.m.
Second. Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dobbs?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you very much.
Oh, that's fine.